Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, it is Friday, it is the 30th, and you are tuned in to the Don S. McClure Show. And of course, I am the one and only Dr. Don S. McClure. I like saying that. A friend of mine told me, Don, I didn't know you were a doctor. I said, yeah, like Dr. Feelgood or something. Anyway, no, I'm not a doctor. Matter of fact, a lady in Memphis told me she thought of me as a doctor from all my knowledge. But anyway, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I am the one and only Don S. McClure, and it is Friday, and we have a great show for you tonight. Tonight, we are going to do honor to Langston Hughes, who was one of the greatest poets in the world, and to Maya Angelou, who, of course, was a phenomenal woman, a great woman, a woman that outdid herself and influenced the world and influenced a lot of people. She was a great icon, and I mean truly, truly a great woman. So we're going to talk about her. Our show will honor two great icons, both that have passed but influenced the world. We honor and credit the things people share as who we are in the now. We must share credit with the past experiences of our lives and exposure to others that gives us credit for today. So that's one of my quotes that I have online. And, of course, it's by Don S. McClure. And it's talking about honoring the past, honoring your future, and honoring those that came from the past that taught you things and seeing where you're going. A young lady wrote me on Facebook and asked me if I could inspire her today. And I told her definitely I would because she's a great person. I wanted to make sure that she listens in and gets inspired. I've been drinking too much tea. Inspired. But it's going to be a great show tonight. We've got a lot of great things to cover. Life and directions. We will be sharing information about who you are, becoming or maintaining a healthy you for life. And we want you to understand there is no one-size-fits-all attitude or mindset about who you are, the way you should think, and how you should handle your thoughts and desires. Learning is an art. And taking a look at the blends of the art and science of thoughts, desires, hopes, and wants connected to your nutrition with the personal growth aspect of my favorite word, love. Relationships, fitness, career, and spiritual practice to help you find your path toward happiness, peace in life, and health. Through this music and our conversations and stuff we're going to do tonight, if you don't get inspired, I don't know what to tell you, but it's going to be a great show. We got to send some shouts out. I definitely have to send a shout out to my niece. Her birthday's coming up on June the 4th, and she's named after me. Her name is Donna. And a friend of mine who lives in Memphis, Tennessee, she is having a birthday on June the 4th because they're born on the same day, and her name is Mitzi, and she's a great listener and a great person who appreciates our shows, and she was so inspired by Amaryllis Santiago, my sister. Yes, that's my sister. And when I played her track, she was so inspired by her. So we're going to play some of her tracks tonight. And we have a saying for you. I want you to look up a man named Julius, middle initial K, Nyerere. And it's N-Y-E-R-E-R-E. He's born in 1964, and he was the president of Tanzania. And I admired one of the quotes he said, "The war against ignorance, poverty, and disease is our own war, and it can only be won by our own sweat and toil." So once I learned that, I decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to be a great person, do some great things. And tonight, we are going to light up the airways with some great music. We're going to talk about those icons, and we're going to talk about the secret weapon that Motown used to make them the superior company against a lot of other companies. They had a girl singing group that they didn't talk about much, but from my understanding, these young ladies did 22,000 tracks for Motown. So we're going to get into that. We're going to start off with, of course, my guys, the Four Tops, because these young ladies are singing in the background. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more. And, yes, we're going to get to those young ladies. We're going to talk about them, the Four Tops, and just a whole bunch of great stuff on Friday. And I'm pumped up. I got my six-pack. I'm ready. So let's get into the tracks, and then we're going to come back. We're going to play my intro for my book, To Have a Friend. Then we're going to do a PSA, and we're going to blast you tonight with some great music and some great information. So let's get to Shake Me, Wake Me, and I'm going to tell you a story about that song. My mother used to whoop me on that song, but we'll tell you about that. But let's listen to Shake Me, Wake Me by the Four Tops and get our show started.
All through this song and sleepless night, I hear my neighbors talking.
Get on the
pain that out of my life, through another's arms, you'll soon be walking.
But anyway, I'd be laying in the bed sleeping. I probably had told a story earlier, and I did have music in my head. He said, my mother come in the room and had that belt, and I said, "Oh Lord, shake me, wake me when it's over." And she said, "I'm gonna whoop you for telling them stories." anyway, that was a song she liked. And every time I hear that song, I think about Shake Me, Wake Me, Man. Wake Me When That Whooping Is Over. That's what that was. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And, of course, I am the one and only Don S. McClure. And if you want to reach me by email, like most of you do, you can write me at McClure, Don S. at yahoo.com. And my producer said, would you stop laughing? And then I said, oh, man, the other email is Don S. McClure. Shake me, wake me. That was crazy. Anyway, Don S. McClure at DSMPublications.net. And Father's Day is coming up, and I bet not get another shirt or another tie or another pair of socks and some underwear, man. Can't y'all think of something different? And I got to tell you a story about Father's Day when my daughter bought me an orange and black tie that looked like a Halloween tie. And I had to wear it to work when she was a little kid. She said, Daddy, do you like it? I said, oh, yeah, this is lovely, and I look like a clown. Anyway, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and tonight is Friday, and I've been having a ball thinking about Shake Me, Wake Me. Let me play my intro to my book, To Have a Friend, one of the best crime thrillers in the world. Play this PSA, and then we're going to get back to some more great music. And I hope I don't play anything else where my mother used to whoop me because she was really on me about being bad.
To Have a Friend, one of the best crime thrillers ever written. In this amazing new drama, Joey is the brilliant and fascinating underworld figure every prosecutor, law official, politician, and other rising crime figure love to hate. It's up to him to keep his friend and his friend's family safe and uninvolved in this plan that he knows will destroy everything the loving couple have worked so hard to build.
We try to hide our truths about our mental and substance use disorders from the world, and sometimes from ourselves. Saying I'm fine is a facade. By facing our problems, recovery begins, and we are empowered to speak our truth. Join the voices for recovery. Speak up. Reach out.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
La recuperación comienza cuando enfrentamos nuestros desórdenes mentales y de uso de sustancias. Únete a las voces de la recuperación. Alza tu voz. Comparte el mensaje.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show. And tonight we are honoring Maya Angelou. Just a phenomenal woman, and I mean some great things. And we also have an interview we're going to play about Langston Hughes, because of course he was one of the greatest people, one of the greatest American poets that got a lot of people started, and he loved the Harlem Renaissance, so we're going to talk about him. But let's do a little brief on Maya Angelou. You know, this woman was not surprised by her extraordinary future, at least that's what this says in the article. And I think it was written or recorded by her son. He says, I'm not modest, she told the Associated Press in 2013. I have no modesty. Modesty is a learned behavior. But I do pray for humility, because humility comes from the inside out. Her story awed millions. This young, single mother who worked at a strip club to earn a living, later danced and sang on stage around the world. A black woman born poor wrote and recited the most popular presidential inaugural poems in history. She was a childhood victim of rape, shamed into silence, eventually told her story through one of the most widely read memoirs of the past few decades. Angelou's a Renaissance woman and cultural pioneer. She died Wednesday morning at her home in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Her son, Guy B. Johnson, said in a statement, the 86-year-old had been a professor of American Studies at Wake Forest University since 1982. She lived a life as a teacher, activist, artist, and human being. She was a warrior for equality, tolerance, and peace, her son said. She was tall and regal, with a deep, majestic voice. She was unforgettable, whether encountered through sight, sound, or printed word. She was an actress, singer, and dancer in the 1950s, which is why we're going to talk about Langston Hughes, and in the 1960s, and broke through as an author in the 1970s. with I Know Why a Caged Bird Sings, which became standard, and occasionally this book was censored, reading and made Angelou one of the first black women to enjoy mainstream success, and that's in the 1970s. Caged Bird was the start of a multi-part autobiography, autobiography that was continued through the decades and captured a life of hopeless obscurity and triumph. She called herself a poet in love with the sound of language. The music and language, as she explained to the Associated Press, was in 2013, but she lived so many lives. Her very name as an adult was a reinvention. Angelou was born Marguerite Johnson in St. Louis and raised in Stamps, Arkansas, and San Francisco, moving back and forth between her parents and her grandmother. She was smart and fresh to the point of danger, packed off by her family to California after sassing a white store clerk in Arkansas. Other times, she didn't speak at all. At age 7, she was raped by her mother's boyfriend and didn't talk for years. She learned by reading and listening. I started reading, really reading, at about 7 and a half, because a woman in my town took me to the library, a black school library, and I read every book, even if I didn't understand it. That's one of the things I keep telling people. Even if you don't really like the books, whether they're philosophies by African leaders or whoever, just read them anyway, just so you have that information. At the age of 9, she was writing poetry. By 17, she was a single mother. In her early 20s, she danced at a strip joint. She ran a brothel, was married, and then divorced. But by her mid-20s, she was performing at the Purple Onion in San Francisco, and at the Purple Onion is where she met Phyllis Diller, who was a comedian, and I've seen Phyllis, and she's older, so a lot of you young people won't know who that is. She also spent a few days with the famous Billie Holiday. After remaining with that club, she talked to different people and renaming herself Maya Angelou for the stage. Maya was a childhood nickname, Angelou, a variation of her husband's name. She toured in. She worked as a coordinator for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. This woman lived in Egypt and Ghana, where she met Nelson Mandela, a longtime friend, and Malcolm X, to whom she remained close until he was assassinated. 3 years later, she was helping King organize the Poor People's March in Memphis, Tennessee, where the civil rights leader was slain. Angelou was little known outside the theatrical community until I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, which might not have happened if James Baldwin hadn't persuaded Angelou, still grieving over King's death, to attend a party at Julius Ferris house. Ferris was so taken by Angelou that he mentioned her to Random House editor Bob Loomis, who persuaded her to write a book by daring her into it, saying that it was nearly impossible to write an autobiography as literature. She replied, "Well, maybe I will try it." Angelou responded, "I don't know how it would turn out, but I can try." That's what I tell you all the time. I tell my audience, you know what? It doesn't matter if it's not technically written right. Doesn't matter if it has errors in it. Just try it, and until you get it right, you'll get the flow of it. Her writing was attacked from seemingly opposite reasons. In a 1999 essay in Harper's, author Francine Prose criticized Caged Bird as manipulative and melodrama. Meanwhile, Angelou's passages about her rape and teen pregnancy have made it parental on the American Library Association's list of works that draw complaints from parents and educators. I always tell people a lot of times, just because you put something out there, everybody isn't going to like it, does not mean it's bad. It just means they don't see what you see. "I thought it was a mild book," is what she said. "There's no profanity," Angelou told the AP. "It speaks about surviving, and it really doesn't make orgies of many people. I was shocked to find there were people who really wanted to ban it. And I still believe people who are against the book have never read the book at all." Like, I'll hear people say, "Well, you know, Don, it's okay." And I'm like, "Well, you know what? You never read my book, so you really wouldn't know what I wrote." In 2002, Angelou communicated in an unexpected way when she launched a line of greeting cards, which I wasn't aware of, with industry giant Hallmark. Angelou admitted she was cool to the idea at first. Then when she came to Loomis, her friend and editor at Random House, I said, I'm thinking about doing something with Hallmark, she recalled, and he said, you're the people's poet. You don't want to trivialize yourself. So I said, okay, and I hung up, and then I thought about it, and I thought, if I'm the people's poet, then I ought to be in the people's hands, and I hope in their hearts. So I thought, I'll do it. She remained close enough to the Clintons that in 2008, she supported Hillary Rodham Clinton's candidacy for the president, who won, basically, was Barack Obama. But a few days before Obama's inauguration, she was clearly overjoyed. It means that she made a choice because these were friends of hers. It didn't mean she didn't like Barack Obama. She just was being loyal to her friends. And, hey, when he won, he won. And she said, okay, congratulations, and I'm all for you. She told the Arkansas Democrat Gazette she would be watching it on television somewhere between crying and praying and being grateful and laughing when I see faces I know. Angela received dozens of honorary degrees, and several elementary schools have now been named after her. As she approached her 80th birthday, she decided to study at the Missouri-based Unity Church. This is at when she's 80, when she advocates healing through prayer. I was in Miami, and my son, Guy Johnson, her only child, was having his 10th spinal operation. I felt really done in by the work I was doing. People who had expected things of me, said Angelou, who then recalled a Unity Church service she attended in Miami. The preacher came out, a young black man, mostly at a white church, and he came out and said, I have only one question to you, and that is, why have you decided to limit God? And she says she thought, that's exactly what I've been doing. So then he asked me to speak, and I got up and said, thank you, 50 times. And I said it about 50 times until the audience began saying it with me, thank you. This woman was super great, and she never stopped learning and being open to what people had to say and do. And that's the whole thing about living your life. Even though she had these traumatic situations and she was at a brothel, she did a bunch of things trying to raise her kid, but she never lost sight of trying to find herself. I think a lot of times we get caught up, like I said, into what people say, what people think we should do and say, and hey, it doesn't even make a difference what they say. If you believe in yourself and you know you're on the right path, you stick with that. You're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and of course, like I said, I am the only one, the one and only, the new Don S. McClure. I gotta like that. We're gonna get to this track by Kurt Whalum, All I Do, with Wendy Moulton singing a Stevie Wonder jam. Then we're gonna come back and talk about the Adantes, the girls behind the voices at Motown. So stick around. We got a lot more show to do. And then we're going to play some stuff about Langston Hughes. We got a bad history show tonight, and my girl is going to sing Amaryllis Santiago. But right now, we're going to play Kurt Whalum.
Getting to be all that matters to me.
Okay, we're back. Hey, listen, remember, when you're listening to a track, what I try to do is listen also to the background tracks and listen to the singers that's in the back, because they really, a lot of times, will make that recording superior. And that was the secret that Motown learned. And it was so amazing while I was looking up the Four Tops. I kept going through stuff and finding stuff, and I wanted to see who basically was singing, who wrote it. Holland and Dozier wrote the tracks. But then I saw this name of this group, the Adantes, and I think I'm pronouncing it right. If not, the gentleman who is the head of the Motown Museum, we're going to listen to an interview by him. He's going to definitely say what their name is. But it was so amazing not to know who these young ladies were. And I know I saw the movie Dreamgirls, and I've seen other movies on Motown and Temptation Stories, but I never saw these girls. And these girls ran Studio A. Excuse me. They were the voices, behind the voices. So let's listen to an interview by Motown's own director of the museum, and now they have an exhibit of these young ladies. And there's three of them, and I got a picture of them on my screen board. So if you get a chance to take a look at them, they're right there. Three really nice-looking young ladies, and they sang on all the tracks for the Four Tops. They did stuff with Marvin Gaye. I mean, I'm going to let the man tell you. But in the meantime, it shows you where sometimes people are in the background and you don't know them and you don't know their fame. But these girls were really bad, and they never got a chance to really tour. But they went into that studio and made some sounds that nobody else could make, and that's why I hired them, and that's why they're called the Secret Weapon. But let's listen to the interview.
An exhibit on the ladies of Motown, the five female groups that are part of our story, the broader Motown story. And so what we tried to do here, we went with the title, The Grit, the Glamour, the Glory. And what we tried to exhibit was not only the fabulous music and performances that they gave, but also the kind of the behind the scenes, the story behind the story on what they had to do, to the effort that they had to put forth in order to be a success. We featured five groups. The Supremes, obviously everyone is aware of. Martha and the Vandellas, which originally began as the Vandellas, but quickly evolved to Martha and the Vandellas, and then ultimately Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. The Marvelettes, who had one of Motown's first hits with Please Mr. Postman, and then a group that was very popular as well during the mid-60s called the Belvelettes. It had real cute songs like Needle in a Haystack and Bird in the Hand is Worth Two in the Bush, that sort of thing, and He Was Really Saying Something. And then a group that hasn't gotten a lot of a showcase because they were the background singers, a group called the Andantes, three ladies who played a pivotal role in the Motown sound. They have those high angelic voices that you hear on songs like Reach Out, I'll Be There, and Just Ask the Lonely by the Four Tops, Standing in the Shadows of Love, How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You with Marvin Gaye, and Always Think About My Guy. That's them again. They performed on more than 20,000 Motown songs. And so they kind of are the equivalent of the Funk Brothers, the ones who were behind the scenes, the foundation of all the great music that gave it, a platform for an artist like Marvin Gaye or some of the other ones, the Four Tops, to be able to showcase their music in the best possible light. And so that's what we wanted to do, is honor them and show their contributions to the Motown story.
And that was the recording that we made sure that we played for you. But, it was just so amazing to me because it was Jackie Hicks, Marlene Barrow, and Luvain Dempse that really sang, I mean, in these backgrounds, and like he says, they're doing this whole thing now to let people know they were Motown secret weapon, but today hardly anybody has ever heard of them. The Adantes were the most prolific girl group at Motown Records in the early 1960s, singing backup, like he said, over 20,000 tunes. You know, the thing that was amazing about girl groups, the girls at that time, they didn't get a lot of opportunities like the male groups got. And from all the movies and stuff we saw, we thought the girls were really out there, but they weren't getting that many opportunities because if they were pregnant or wanted to start a family, they had to drop out of the public eye for a while. So, in fact, Raul said, switching between groups, that was a regular practice among girl groups at the time, like Sandra Tilly. For instance, she turns up in the publicity pictures for the Vandellas and the Velvettes, the soaring vocals of Marlene Barrow Tate, Jackie Hicks, and Luvain Dempse can be heard on such hits as, like I said, Marvin Gaye, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. And when we hear those tracks, we give Marvin and them a lot of great credit, and they should get credit. But those people in the background are carrying that, Mary Wells, and everybody sang My Guy. So, you know, it's important to listen to the people that are around you. And we're talking about life and directions. And what's happening in life and directions is the people you surround yourself with or get to know or into your life, they can help direct your life, just like these young ladies. They directed a lot of things. Matter of fact, you could hear them on recordings that were not on Motown. They sang background for Jackie Wilson on the track called Higher and Higher. And everybody back in the day used to love this track by the Dales called Stay in My Corner. And I always thought it was just the guys singing in the background because my brother loved that tune. But Stay in My Corner, they're on that background track for that. So not only did they sing for Motown, they were just cutting up all over the place. So I want you to look that group up, see what you can find out for yourself. Andantes, Motown's Secret Weapon. Three young ladies, there's pictures of them, and they're really cute. They look like little high school girls. So again, you know, just, hey, keep going through what you're doing, listening to what you're listening to, and keep checking out on people and see what they're doing. We're going to play a track that went to number one by some high school girls, and Sarah Vaughan tried to re-sing this song. Diana Ross tried to sing this song over again with the Supremes. Everybody tried to sing this song. And the young lady that sang lead on this song, Barbara Harris, is still singing today out there touring with her husband. And when she does the tour, she sings this song. And we're going to play it. And actually, I had a babysitter named Joyce Leggett. And I had such a little crush on her. And she would play this song in the house. And I'd be like, oh, I like that little song. But anyway, it was written by Bach in G minor. But these three young ladies took this song back in the 50s and turned it out. And from my understanding, I think the song came out in 1965. So we're going to tell you a little story about that song. But we're going to play The Lover's Concerto by the original group. And a lot of people have tried to sing it, but nobody can sing like this young lady, Barbara Harris. And we'll tell you a little story about her after the song. So let's get to my little heartbreak song, my little crush song, The Lover's Concerto.
With them.
Oh, man, that's one of them pop tunes. Anyway, Barbara Harris was born August 18, 1945, in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. And she sang lead, and she is still alive today singing. Barbara Parrott was born October 1st, 1944, in Wilmington, North Carolina. She's still around. And June Montero was born July 1st, 1946, in Queens, New York. The Toys is the name of their group, and they were an American pop girl group from Jamaica, New York, which was formed in 1961, and they only sang up until 1968. But you take the seductive trio of the Toys, that recorded the million-seller A Lover's Concerto. I mean, this was so amazing because it was written by Bach, and they took an adaptation of that, and it's in G minor, but no less, it was one of the biggest hits of 1965, zipping up the pop and R&B charts like a rocket and turning the Jamaican New York-based vocal threesome into global overnight sensations. The girls said they were in high school, says Harris. The other Barbara and myself, we went to the same school. June, her sister, was a neighbor of Barbara's. She used to come over to her sister's house all the time, so they met there. We all got together after school. We sang on the corner. First, we were doing talent shows. We started doing more shows. Then we went to New York at 1650 Broadway looking for some backup work. We met a fellow at one of the talent shows who took us back to Broadway, introduced us to our manager. Vince Mark was his name. He was managing his wife. Her name was Barbara Chandler. She had a record out at that time. I don't know whether it did really well. So we sort of got together and we did shows together, and then introduced us to the writers, Sandy Linzer and Denny Randall. Linzer and Randall would play an integral role in the Toys' rise to fame, both as their producers and their primary source of material. Of the dozen of songs on the original album, the prolific pair wrote all but one song, which of course the Beatles wrote, called Yesterday, and it's on their album. They wrote four songs in the beginning, and we went in and recorded the four songs, says Harris. Surprisingly, they waxed A Lover's Concerto, and it wasn't the primary song. It wasn't even their primary goal. That day they came in, they had been rehearsing on the other four songs, and that one was the last one that they introduced us to, she says. The first three we rehearsed for 4 weeks, trying to get it just right. Then we came up with A Lover's Concerto at the last minute now, and they said, hey girls, let's sing this song. It was so easy that we rehearsed it for a bit, then we went on into the studio, recorded it. The first take came out. We didn't have to do it over and over again like the rest of the songs, and we never knew that we would be the number one seller. In September 1965, they were on a label called Dynavorce. I mean, that's just an amazing thing that you rehearse other songs. This song overtook the Beatles, the Supremes, Elvis Presley, the Rolling Stones, the Four Tops, Stevie Wonder, everybody. I mean, Barbara Harris had a hit number one on a song that they did in the last few minutes of coming into the studio. So when you talk about life and its directions, here you are, some young girls, want to do some background work. You decide to go to New York or meet somebody that takes you there, and the song that you come in the last minute becomes a number one seller, and they're still playing the song today. I mean, that's amazing. So when we talk about life, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about how you have to look at life and what you have to do, you got to think about where you want to go, how you want to do it, and some of the things you want to be involved in. I mean, that to me is taking life by the horns. We got 46 more minutes into the show. If you want to write me, you can write me at McClureDonS@yahoo.com. You can reach me at Don S. McClure at DSM Publications, where you can find all my books, and they are exciting. And I do want to thank Denise for being such a loyal supporter. She's got almost all of my books, which is getting close to 11. We're going to play a track by Amaryllis Santiago, my girl, my sister. She's really just a Latin doll. Then we're going to get to some more things by Aletha Adams, Aletha. And then we're going to do some more tracks and some more PSAs. But I am enjoying it, and we're going to get to an interview again on Langston Hughes. So let's get to my girl singing, Dreaming, because I'm dreaming right now about my mother whooping me. Man, I had so many nightmares about that.
palabras ocultadas, sentimientos que no igualan. ¿Cómo voy a decirte en palabras exactas para que sepas que cada noche estoy soñando, soñando? Deseo que estarás aquí. Estoy soñando, soñando. Deseo que estarás aquí. El tiempo no habrá en nuestro favor. Mañana no está prometido. Me da miedo vivir en la fantasía. ¿Cómo debo sentir? Palabras ocultadas, sentimientos que no igualan. ¿Cómo voy a decirte en palabras exactas para que sepas que cada noche estoy soñando, soñando? Deseo que estarás aquí. Estoy soñando, soñando. Deseo que estarás aquí. Mi amor, nosotros empezamos, éramos mejores amigos, y pasó el tiempo, y nos enamoramos, una pasión, con mucha emoción, mi cariño, tú sabes que como tú, no hay nadie, por eso seguiré soñando. Palabras ocultadas, sentimientos que no igualan. ¿Cómo voy a decirte en palabras exactas para que sepas que cada noche estoy soñando?
Soñando, soñando, deseo
like that when she arranged that one, man. That's my sister, and she can sing her tootie-tootie off. I can't say B-U-T on radio. But anyway, I mean, I like that, and I just got three emails came across my board saying, man, I like that. That's one of them songs you can do that stepping stuff on. Anyway, you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and tonight I am the one and only. I'm going to be a doctor tonight, Dr. Don S. McClure. And, man, when I'm in that operating room and operating on you, I'm going to do, hey, la, dun, 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 dun. Anyway, I'm having a ball tonight. We're going to get to Langston Hughes, my man, the man that inspired so many to become great writers and authors. And from what I understand, he said, I didn't write for the universities. I wrote for the regular person because I wanted to make sure that black people were honored and they were respected. And I wasn't trying to write to impress academia. I was writing to impress the regular public. We got 30 more minutes into the show. I am enjoying it, and we're going to play an interview about Langston Hughes. And if you don't know who Langston Hughes is, please look it up for the Harlem Renaissance. I tell you, that's just too much tea. Anyway, let's get to Langston Hughes' interview, and then we're going to come back and play some more hot tracks. Hey, man, I'm going to play that one more time before I go off the show. Amaryllis Santiago.
Langston Hughes is considered a great author because he spoke to, for, and about black people in America.
Poet, novelist, and playwright, Langston Hughes was the leading voice of the Harlem Renaissance.
America was changing during the time that Langston Hughes was so popular. Black consciousness was becoming more and more public, more prominent. I think that Langston Hughes was important because he was one of the early figures to show the dignity and the beauty of ordinary black life.
He was one of the most visible of the younger black poets, a new generation that described themselves as the new Negro. They covered new topics, took on new poetic forms, and sought a wider audience, and Langston Hughes was at the forefront of that.
James Mercer Langston Hughes was born in Joplin, Missouri, on February 1st, 1902. He wrote a lot about being lonely when he was young, and I think that was a tremendous part of the product of moving around so much. After graduating high school, Hughes published his first and most famous poem, The Negro Speaks of Rivers.
It is the first poem that celebrates Africa and dignifies the image of Africa in American literature.
The Negro Speaks of Rivers was published in a popular black journal, and so he was really rather widely read from the beginning. His poetry and his prose actually had access to everyday people. While studying at Columbia University, Hughes discovered the Harlem art scene, spending hours in jazz and blues clubs, weaving the rhythms of music into his work.
Jazz and blues were great influences on Langston Hughes. He sought to capture the energy and vitality of the music in his poetry.
He was very familiar with the Harlem nightlife. He knew the musicians, and later in his life he would even collaborate with some of the key figures at that time, such as Duke Ellington.
Hughes was a prolific writer and one of the first African-American authors who could support himself through his writing.
Langston Hughes wrote plays. He edited anthologies of poets of African descent across the diaspora. He wrote short stories. One of his most famous series of short stories centers around Jesse B. Simple. These are tales told by a resident of Harlem to an aspiring writer who's a stand-in for Langston Hughes.
He was one of the more widely published of the young poets of the period. He was also among the better connected. He really worked hard to promote the careers of other young writers in Harlem and also throughout the rest of his life. That's also one of his big legacies. Langston Hughes died of cancer on May 22, 1967. His Harlem residence was given landmark status, a fitting tribute for a legendary writer.
His influence, his ambition as a creative writer, is success, is accessibility. He wrote for the average person. He was not writing for college classrooms. He was not writing for the elite. All of those things, I think, require that we recognize and acknowledge him as a great American literary voice of the 20th century.
Man, that was my guy. Langston. So again, I want our young people and even other people to, I'm getting emails saying that, hey, there's a lot of stuff going on my show that they didn't know about. And that's a good thing. I'm telling you, it's about education. It's about life. So when you want to be inspired, you reach into those stories. And if you've got a story you want to tell, you tell it. And it doesn't matter whatever happened to you when you were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. The point is get over it, do some great things, because you got a life ahead of you. So I like that, and I think it's just great for you to do that. And right now, for all of my audience, I'm going to play a little track by Dionne Warwick called I Say a Little Prayer, because I want you to think about where you're going in life, and I want you to change your direction if it's bad, and I want you to do some great things, because you are you. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If you want to write, draw, fly planes, be an astronaut, whatever it is you seriously want to do, if you need some advice, write me, call me. Get my books, of course, because I'm trying to become a billionaire, zillionaire, like the rest of them. But I like what Langston Hughes said. I write because I enjoy writing. I write because I like to write, and it's what I want to do. So let's get to say a little prayer. And say a little prayer for me so I don't get no more whippings by my mommy, because she used to really tear me up for it. I was a bad little boy.
Take time and go through my soul.
Oh, man, and that was too tight. And I like that. And the thing is, when you wake up in the morning and you had that special person in your life, you say a little prayer for them and say, oh, they're a sweetie beady. And it is nice to be in love. So I'm telling you, tell them in a hurry. Say a little prayer for them, because every day is a joy to be alive. And when you get that in your life, when you have joy, I'm telling you, you'll find a better direction. Forget all that sad stuff. We're going to take a quick PSA, and when we come back, my girl from last week, Lyra, is going to sing Soul in Mind, because I got a soul in mind, and you got a soul in mind, and I want you to stay healthy. I really do. So you could sing songs like me, the little sweetie beady songs. So let's get to About Your Health. Then when we come back, my girl from last week from South Africa, and it is dedicated to Maya Angelou and to Nelson Mandela and to all the beautiful people in the world.
This is Chicago-style hot dog here. I'm not feeling too good. Turns out, along with all the other bad things my cholesterol does, they say it's a risk factor for strokes. Strokes? Sheesh! Good news from National Stroke Association. Exercising, eating right, and asking your doctor about medicines that can help lower your cholesterol, like statins, may reduce the risk of a first stroke. And if you've already had a stroke, it's even more important you lower your cholesterol.
Lower your chances of stroke by controlling your cholesterol. Visit stroke.org today.
And don't forget, make sure you get checked, because I want you to be around, and I want you to say a little prayer for me. And I'm telling you, man, last night I had a nightmare. I was hollering, pizza, pizza, in my sleep. So I don't know what the heck I had ate, but, man, whatever it was bad. And I said, ooh, I got to get up from that dream. Let's listen to Lyra, Soul in Mind. And I'm telling you, this is for everybody out that is worth anything. Oh, and Anita, this is for her because she's working on some stuff for women in shelters and stuff like that. I'm telling you, she's a special woman. So this is for her, Lyra, Soul in Mind. And you know what? I want my fans, which is closing in on 15,000. We're at 14,800 when I checked before the show. So I know we're going to be at the little 15,000. Let's listen to Lyra from last week, South African Jewel, number one artist in the world, Lyra.
I am a child born of love, so let love remain in my heart and my mind. Let love and joy be my friend, give me peace with no end. Let me live with no fear and no shame. Let me begin to see love come alive in my life. Let me feel how it feels to be me. Do 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 do. A longing and pounding in my heart led me to want so much more out of life. Led me to forgive every hurt, to let go of the past, and allow myself to heal every pain. Now I am free, yes, I hope.
Soul in mind.
And, man, I had to come running back down. And would you believe I had a water bottle in my head? And my producer said, I'm going to say a little prayer for you because, man, it's something wrong, would you? And I said, yeah, right. Anyway, that was Lyra. And so that was a song that when you start getting down, I want you to play that song while you're taking a bath or a shower or whatever. And just think about that. You know, she wants to be free. And you could be free in your mind. I'm telling you, inspire yourself. Because real friendship is not all about what people give you. It's not always about what you can get from them. What it's about is the love you have for each other. And if you got that, you'll be okay. Like my book, To Have a Friend, that I want everybody to get. And I got a new book coming out called I Love Writing a Fun Love Story. And I'm almost done with it. This weekend I'll be done. Goes to the editors. And please get that book at www.dsmpublications.net. So that was my girl Lyra. And again, Langston Hughes influenced Maya Angelou. So you find somebody that influences you, and you find somebody that influences your world, and I think you'll just have a, you'll soar. You'll soar like an eagle. You'll do some things you never thought you could really do. Hey, there's a track by Olita Adams that I didn't get to play last week. And what she's talking about is like, hey, she wants her man. She say, you know what, this is one day. We're going to get some mojitas. We're going to chill out. And we're not going to have no company. You're not going to work. I'm not going nowhere. We're going to chill. So I want you to listen to the words in this song. And I'm telling you, man. She say, look, we're just going to chill out. We ain't answering no telephones. We're going to spend our time together. So listen to this song by my girl that I didn't get to play last week by Lolita. And I hope it's the right button because, man, last week I was bombing.
Let's just breathe.
get out your life, and you get us some mojitos, tell your man, we just go stay here, you know, because you're important to me. That's a heck of a statement. I like that. Put on something sexy, and just say, hey, let's just stay here, like Don McClure said. You know, I like this young lady. Matter of fact, this is a book some people need to read, or she need to write a book. She's got a track called I Just Had to Hear Your Voice. And I want you to listen to the words of this song, because she said, I know you just left. No, I just saw you. But I had to hear your voice on the phone. I can't get enough of you. And not the word enough. It's called enough. Enough of you. My producer said, I'm getting enough of you. But he said his wife wrote him and said, she going to get some mojitos. And next week he ain't coming to work. I said, dang. It's old. It's old like popcorn. Anyway, let's listen to Olita Adams, my artist from last week that I didn't get to play a lot this week, and she's jamming some love tracks, some love songs. So if you want to figure out what to do, maybe buy some Olita Adams, and you'll have the five languages of love. And get my book, Romantic Images of You, Where My Heart Belongs. And between that book and these songs, man, you'll have a love life for the rest of your life, I guess. I hope so. Don't sue me.
Spend a little time apart, but one night without you is too much for my heart. I know I promised not to call. Sorry, but I didn't have a choice. I just had I'm
Okay, you ladies and you gents out there, there's nothing wrong with calling whoever it is or texting them and saying good night. That's all they're asking for is a little something, so you can make them feel some kind of way. I like that. My producer say, man, yeah, you've been drinking too much tea. And his wife say she likes my show tonight. She's just so in love over there. She say next week he's not coming to work, because she's going to take some time off with him. That's pretty cool. Let's listen to this PSA. We got 9 more minutes into the show. We are honoring Maya Angelou. We got a slow, mellow pace tonight because there's so much love in the air. And it's Friday, and I want you to get some light bulbs like this PSA and learn about your luminas, because I like this piece.
It's our last errand today, Jimmy. Just need to pick up some light bulbs.
Whoa, there's so many. Did Grandma tell you which ones to buy?
No, but check out the label on this package. It'll help us find the right bulbs.
Does it really matter?
Well, sure. The new light bulbs use a lot less energy, so we save money on our electric bill by using an energy-saving incandescent, CFL, or LED.
How about this bulb?
Yeah, let's see. We need to replace the 60-watt bulbs in our bedside lamps. That one is 800 lumens, so it should do the trick.
I've never heard of lumens.
Lumens tell us how bright the light is. The more lumens, the brighter the bulb.
You know, Grandpa, you're a pretty bright guy.
Yeah, you're pretty smart yourself, Jimmy.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov. That's energysavers.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Energy.
And we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show on a Friday, and it is Love and Remembering Night. You got to remember, and make sure you dial those texts and say goodnight to your punky punkies or your unky unkies or whatever they are, just like the Oompa Loompas. You remember that? A Oompa Loompa. Yeah, hey, they were pretty cool. Matter of fact, I'm writing a couple of children's stories. I already got one called Santa Claus versus the Aliens. And I'm doing another one at the end of the year called Santa Claus and the Robot Wars. So, and they got some little love songs in there, too. So that's really cute. Hey, I'm going to play a track that I played last week called Heaven and Earth by Lattimore. And it was just hot. And when I get a chance, I'm going to find the track that my representative in Indianapolis wants me to find called Rain. I forgot who was by, and I've been looking for it. So maybe she needs to send it to me. But my producer's wife asked me to play this song, Heaven and Earth, because he's heaven and earth to her, she's heaven and earth to him, and I hope I'm heaven and earth to somebody. Not somebody, but somebody.
Some say love comes. Some say love wants too much, but when you find that someone too much is never enough, 'cause every of me too hard or too tough.
90 seconds. I know I got 90 seconds. Listen, I got to get out of here. She always tells me I run over. Anyway, enjoy life. That's all you have. Have a great weekend. I've enjoyed this hour and a half. Man, it's been a blast. Learned a lot. Anyway, enjoy life. Take that day off with your woman, your man, your dog, cat, whatever it is. Stay in. Do what Olita Adams said. Anyway, let's play Amaryllis. Take us out of here. We're not going to get the whole song, but hey, we'll get some of it. That's my sister. So, okay. All right, 60 seconds. She all in my ear. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good weekend. Listen to this last track if you can.
Me quedo callada. Soy como una niña dormida que puede despertarse con apenas solo un ruido. Cuando menos te lo esperas, cuando menos lo imagino, sé que un día no me aguanto y voy y te miro. Y te lo digo a los gritos y te ríes y me tomas por una loca atrevida, pues no sabes cuánto tiempo en mis sueños te ha vivido, ni sospechas cuando te nombré. Trae la primavera y me enseñe lo que